America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
All right, everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Cadobio. It's Chris Algieri. We're presented by PPV.com. PPV.com is the place to stream live boxing events. We have an announcement coming up. I think you know what it is. At the end of March, there will be a fight, I'm pretty sure, on PPV.com, and we will be there. Live interactive chat, stream it to your tablet, to your phone, anywhere. It's the best place to watch a live boxing event. We put on great content during those fight weeks. So follow PPV.com on all social medias. Hello, Chris, and welcome to episode 597.
Also, it is Super Bowl Sunday. I know we don't talk about football on this podcast, and nobody really cares about this particular football's Super Bowl, but we still got to, you know, say it like it is.
Well, this might come out Monday. Who knows? Depends on our editor.
All right, should we just say who wins now?
Congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks on a 3-0 win.
3-0. Wow.
Bad Bunny came out and the world.
The underdogs, right?
Bad Bunny came out. He performed, and the sun rose the next day. The world did not end. It was a great day. Super Bowl Sunday, coming off of a great boxing Saturday because it was a thriller of a fight in the featherweight division. We'll start there.
Dogs on top.
Oh, man. Brendan Figueroa knocks out Nick Ball in the 12th round. A really good fight, a back-and-forth fight, a closer fight than what the broadcast was telling you because the judges actually got it right. They had, at the time of the stoppage, they had two judges had Figueroa up 106-103. One judge, there's always got to be one judge, Robert Lane. That actually makes sense because he tried to rob him. 107-102. Awesome win by Brendan Figueroa. Goes overseas, stops Nick Ball, becomes a three-division world champion, flips the division upside down. What 2026 has been about so far. Great win, bro.
Yeah, great win. Unexpected, underdog, on the road. And this is one of those fights where, first of all, I was picking Nick Ball. I thought Figueroa just hadn't looked good in recent form. So I was kind of throwing him under the bus, unfortunately. But he proved me wrong, which is great. I actually always like Brendan Figueroa. But like, this is one of those fights that, like, in hindsight, if you think about their styles, because Figueroa is so big for the weight class. He's tall, he's long, and he can punch. That never goes away. He could always punch. He could great body puncher. One of the best body punchers in those lighter divisions right now. And Nick Ball is just such a high-contact fighter. It's like, well, yeah, of course Brendan had a big chance. But my concern with Brendan was like he just didn't have it anymore because he just hasn't looked good. In the Foster fight, he was super flat. I thought he actually lost to Joe Gonzalez, which is, you know, should have been a fight where he dominated. You know, he just hasn't looked really good recently. And even the, I think it was the Magdaleno fight, and then he finally knocked him out with a body shot. So just in recent form, he just did not look like he was going to perform like he has. But listen, he showed up, man. And hats off to Manny Robles, who is the underdog on top, upset king of coaching right now. The guy has been able to orchestrate incredible upsets with his fighters. And but yeah, now hats off to Nick Ball. To Brendan Figueroa. Awesome performance, awesome fight, great finish, and man, this kid's gonna make some money in the next couple months because there's some great fights to be made.
I mean, Turkey already said he wants him on that September card, Mexico versus the world. Love despite Brendan Figueroa is from Texas. I mean, he's Mexican American. He's an American citizen. Yes, lots to unpack there. But yeah, Manny Robles, the upset king. Andy Ruiz over Joshua, Resendez over Plant, Espinosa over Ramirez, and now Figueroa over Nick Ball. I love what I heard from Robles' corner heading into the 12th round. DAZN caught it. They said Robles was like, you got to get in there and you got to let's not mess around. Go end it or take control of it or leave no doubt. Great coaching. Figueroa goes in there 10, 15 seconds into the round. Perfectly placed hook that landed on the mark. Left hook landed on the mark
from a southpaw position.
Oh, man, just placed because everyone's like, I saw some tweets. It's like, dude, he didn't have power to the 12th round. Chris, you could attest to this. Placement sometimes is what it's all about. You have just enough on that shot. Beam.
Also, okay, placement's one thing. Timing's another. Also, it was a head-on collision. Ball was throwing a leaping left hook as Figueroa threw, which was he wasn't throwing a big, heavy shot by any means. It was in combination. So I get where people are coming from. It's like, you know, what that shot. But Nick ran right into it. Full-on, head-on, chin-on glove as he was punching through it. So he actually... He generated the power for his own KO, which we, you know, we see with head-on collisions. It happens. But also, very immature, untrained eye for that person to say that he didn't have power. He actually had power all night long, and Nick Ball looked uncomfortable. And Nick, again, being a high-contact guy, I've never seen him react to someone's power the way he reacted to Brandon throughout the rounds. If you watch the fight back, the first 6-7 rounds, Nick was being Nick. You know, coming forward, banging.
Landing that uppercut at will.
Yeah, landed really good in the first round. Figueroa has always had a really good chin. He's also huge for the weight class. Took the shots well. Definitely got rocked a few times. Was in there. Nick Ball was looking good. But something that Figueroa was doing throughout was he was punching with Nick the whole time. It was not your turn, my turn. That shows the class of Brandon Figueroa and also shows that he's still willing to pull the trigger. But also... Round 7 and on, I think it was around that point, you started seeing Nick making a crucial mistake. And it was because of the power of Brandon. He started pulling back straight, chin up in the air. His chin got higher and higher. And that happens when you're worried about a guy's power. It's just a natural reaction to pull away from shots that are bothering you. So even though it looked like Brandon Figueroa, you know, he wasn't hurting, quote unquote, visibly Nick, I think he was. I think the power was something that Ball wasn't used to. And he is a high contact guy. If you notice, he started pot shotting as the fight wore on. The last couple like rounds, he's like looking to score points. That's not how Ball fights normally.
No, yeah, so you're so right, bro.
He started feeling the power. It started catching up to him. It was there the whole time. Ball is just super, super tough, and was trying not to let it show. But one, his technique failed him, and then even his style changed to deal with the power. And finally, he just got caught. He got caught with a beaut of a shot in that last round. And he never recovered from that left hand. I know he got up.
Oh my God. How did he get up? He got up at 7.
And he was, dude, he wasn't even there. He was out. He was just,
I credit to him for getting up at 7.
Nick Ball has big balls, man. The kid was a champion for a reason. He's super exciting. But yeah, tough loss on his part. But listen, fought his heart out, tried, and he just got bested by the better man that night.
Yeah, Figueroa, I came into this fight and I actually put money on Ball to win by stoppage because of the value. I did not think Figueroa was going to win this fight. Let's be very honest, and I'll be upfront. I put my picks out beforehand. People dunk on me when my pick doesn't hit. I get that. It's part of the game. I did not think Figueroa had anything left. But I will tell you this. Go back to our last episode. I did like that he threw over 1,000 punches in the Gonzalez fight because he did not do that in the second Fulton fight. He was in the 600s. Figueroa has to have volume, has to come forward. He made things uncomfortable for Nick Ball. He pressured him all night. He threw almost 700 punches, 757, which, you know, it's not over 1,000, still a lot though. He was pushing back Nick Ball. Ball in those first 3 or 4 rounds was landing eye-catching shots. It was getting the attention of the judges. It was getting the attention of the broadcast team, which was so pro Ball in the first couple of rounds, but I will give them credit. They readjusted and they did something that we don't see a lot of broadcasters do today is they adjusted to what they were seeing in the ring, not to what the preconceived notion that they had coming in or crowd influence. Or the fact that Nick Ball is a Queensbury guy and it was a Queensbury show on DAZN. You know, Frampton started to change his tune. The guys over there, that's not the important part. But as you saw that, Nick Ball's technique went down. His output went down from round 7 on, and Figueroa just stayed what he usually does. He was so steady. And you don't see a lot of the shots he lands because he smothers his punches. He was landing. His body work was phenomenal. He landed 94 body shots. 94 body shots out of his 214.
So committed to the so committed to the body, Figueroa. It's one of the reasons why he's one of the best body punchers in the game. He goes for it, but also he has such a good chin. He's willing to be in the mix, get hit with shots if he can hit you. And obviously, he's got heavy hands. He's got heavy. No, he doesn't jab. He leans. If you look at his stance, he leans in with his face and just comes forward and just bangs with both hands. I mean, a super exciting fighter. You know, high contact guy. Both are high contact guys, but Figueroa just has the physical gifts. He's so big for that weight class. Tall, long, strong. Great granite chin. I mean, he's tough out, man. You got to box that kid. You can't fight with him, man.
Yeah, it's just why you have it's a really hard to handicap boxing sometimes, because we go by what we've recently seen and what we've recently seen. Even though Nick Ball kind of struggled in his last fight, but I just thought Nick was on a different trajectory than Figueroa, who did not look good in some of his recent performances. Is an older 30 years old, or however old he is, 31.
I think he's 29. No, I think he's 29. Still
horrible. Yeah, 28,
29.
Horrible.
That was after the fact. That was one of the things that like kicked me in the butt.
He's 29. You know, God.
Yeah, we were saying like, oh, you know, he's probably, you know, seen his best days. He's still under 30. I wish we would have talked about that.
Because of his style, dude.
We probably would have changed our tune. But both of them have a style like that. They're both here for a good time, not a long time. That kind of style doesn't persist. It catches up. It caught up to Nick Ball yesterday. And it looked like it was catching up to Brandon, but apparently not.
Yeah, a lot of people dunk it on Nick Ball. Thought he was the weakest link in the division.
I mean,
his teams,
it's a strong division.
It's a very strong division, but they're, you know, this is how it works, bro. This is how it works in boxing. Yeah. You lose and you ain't shit. You win. We're praising Brandon Figueroa, even though I wrote him off. I thought he was completely done. I liked what I was hearing and seeing all week long, that he was like energized. I still thought that he was just going to come up short because of recent performances. That's all we can go by. Hats off to him, man. He was in a loaded division. But just back to what we saw afterwards and some of the stuff that I just could not stand. Andrew Kane, who had an unbelievable performance in the co-main event, coming off the deck twice to score a stoppage win, jumps into the ring and tries to kick members of Manny Robles' team. Tries to kick them because he didn't like how they were reacting after. You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, my God, bro. They win the fight, and they're all excited, right? Team Figueroa. They're not doing anything outside of the ordinary. They're jumping up and down. You know, kind of spilled a little bit into the middle of the ring. I guess you can make an argument that, you know, how hurt was Ball, but he was up. It wasn't like a moment where we see a guy badly hurt, and then the crowd waits, the other team waits to see if he can recover, and then they celebrate. No, he was up. He was big balls. Walked off on his own accord. Yeah, but this guy Kane jumps in and starts kicking, throwing kicks. That's weak shit. Hate that.
What the hell is that? I gotta look this up now. I did not see that. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I heard Manny Robles said that they wrapped Nick Ball's hands were wrapped without a member of Figueroa's team in the locker room, which big no-no.
But listen, I fought in Liverpool, and I will say it, they're very relaxed on what goes on leading up to fights.
I've never heard of that before. Have you? Have you ever heard of a guy getting his hands up without another team member there?
No, because that's a big deal. That's a big deal here, especially in New York. Or in the States, but in New York was a big deal about that, and it was always I was always a thing. That was a surprise to me coming into boxing, because the kickboxing, that wasn't that big of a deal. At the higher level fights, it was like my world title fights in kickboxing. We always had, you know, a member of the other team watching hand wraps. Boxing is a really big deal. And I was shocked when I fought in Liverpool about how lax it was when it came to the pre-fight prep and what was observed and what wasn't.
Ball also left the ring immediately. I don't know if that was an injury thing. He did walk off on his own accord.
His first loss is hard, man. First loss, lost your title, got knocked out at home. Yeah, a lot of that's a hard night's work, man. I don't blame that. Blame him.
The post fight show on the Zone sounded like a funeral. the guy didn't die. He was in a close fight, man. I know the judges had it right, but that was a close fight. He's nothing to he'll be back. But I get it. Like, you see a guy get knocked out face first. I don't know how he got up at 7.
he looked like he was going to stay down. Like, he went down, and it wasn't like the worst knockdown I've seen, but when he went down and like literally was nose to the canvas and was staying there for a bit, yeah, I was like, oh boy. Like, it was almost like a little bit of a delayed, and never seen a guy really stay there like that. So that was that was worrisome. But, you know, he did get up. He's got a ton of heart. But he was so rocked already. It just didn't take much. And Figueroa came right in for the kill.
And the ref gave him a lot of time. He did the whole put your gloves up, you know, tell me a story about your childhood. How's everything going today?
Touch like your left, heel.
Right. Touch your toes. Slide to the left.
Right.
Slide to the right. Crisscross. And then they gave him like 30 seconds. I mean, a little home cooking
at that point.
A little home cooking there between the ref, the judges, the commentary. If you're an American or Mexican, Mexicans have been beating up on these British guys for the last 5 years.
Yeah, true.
If you're a non-Brit heading into their country, enemy territory, you're up against it. You've done it before, Chris. You're up against a lot.
I didn't experience the feeling of it. It didn't feel like that when I was over there. The British fans are great, and I think I've been around long enough that everyone kind of knew who I was when I was walking around. So I didn't feel it. But it was definitely a whole new feeling being over there. You know, with the way they kind of organize everything, a bunch of different rules with the weigh-ins and like I said, how lax they were before, I didn't feel that. Although you can feel it when you watch it on TV with some of these guys, especially the Mexican fighters. Mexicans and Argentinians go over there. Argentinians usually get squashed. The Mexicans usually come out on top. But yeah, in terms of the scores and like you said, the commentary, Figueroa was really up against it. He needed that KO.
Oh, it was great. I mean, that's what made it like theater. That's why boxing is the best when it's done right. Is that was straight up theater. My jaw dropped. 12th round, you're watching a back and forth fight. I already tweeted out, like, you know, there's going to be one bad card. Like, there's going to be a 118, 110 Nick Ball. Yeah. It wasn't going to be that wide, but there was one judge who was going to have Ball winning. Luckily, two other judges got in there. The ref wasn't the greatest performance from that ref, and the commentary, which doesn't mean anything at all. That's just for us at home, is always tilted towards the Brits. And I love the British fans. They're a big part of boxing, and we have a lot of British fans, but you guys have to admit
we have a lot of British champions now too.
Oh yeah. Well, one less, but yeah, there's a lot out there right now. They're having a great time. We need that. Boxing's a global sport, and for it to thrive, we need everyone, all walks of life, but it's funny to watch a fight over there. And I'm jealous of the crowd. I mean, that place was packed out for Nick Ball. Like, it never happened in the States.
No. And the events they do leading up to on fight week are all packed out. People show up, man. It's really refreshing. The fight fans that are over there, the fan base, that is on that side of the world. And they're not, I mean, yes, we're talking about how they're skewing towards their guys, of course, but it's not just their guys. They love boxing. They love boxers. They love fighters. So everyone does get a tremendous amount of respect who does go over there. It's really great.
Pride. They got a lot of pride. And, you know,
that's part of boxing.
Damn right. Let's talk about the featherweight division right now. The featherweight division is crazy. The featherweight picture is crazy. The featherweight champions, Espinoza, Leo, Figueroa, Carrington, they all got to fight each other. These featherweight champions have to start fighting each other. There hasn't been a unification in years. I don't know how to match them, but how about we just start with the longest tenured champions fight first? So Espinoza fights Leo, and then Carrington fights Figueroa, and then the winners face off.
It's wild to think that Leo is one of the longer standing champions, because he only won his title like a year and a half ago. And I think Espinoza won it, I think, 6 months before that. So there's been a lot of turnover in the division. Espinoza, he's hard not to think that he's the guy to beat, because he's, you know, so tall. He's so long. He throws so many punches. He's got good power. He's got chin. We've seen him get off the canvas. We've seen him win a fight with a broken foot. You know, he's a real champion. Angelo Leo, man.
Dark horse.
He had 2.5 years off, and he came back on Pro Box. And the very first fight we had him, I'm on the call, and I'm looking. I go. I'm seeing something that I've never seen here in Pro Box. Like, he was at such a different level of every single fighter we had ever had on our air, because he was a former world champion, but was also working on his craft in those 2 years off. Is still young and viable, and was on his way to trying to vie for another title. And sure enough, a couple fights later, I think it was three fights later, he is a world champion again. He is a operator, man. He is a problem. He hits hard. He's got great technique. He's got heart. He goes for the KOs. His defense is way better than people give him credit for. Angel Leo is a problem. So yeah, those two right there, I think those are probably the guys you really got to have at the top, even though we're going based on chronological age of the title. But also, I think those are the two guys to look out for anyway.
You can make a case for all these guys as being the best. I mean, Espinosa, like you said, like he's got the fighting style that's very exciting.
He's a freak of nature, physically.
Freak of nature.
Undefeated.
Undefeated. Leo has got some great wins. He's battle-tested. He's tough. Figueroa is battle-tested and tough. I mean, you can't doubt this guy. I mean, he's a three-division world champion. He just went across the pond and beat Nick Ball. Then you have Bruce Carrington, who's Bruce Carrington. And he's loud. He's braggadocious. He's got power. He's just the guy that's been chomping at the bit. They got to start fighting each other because this is ridiculous. I mean, when's the last time you saw unification in this division? These are great champions. These are champions that people have heard of. You know, there's Mexicans in there. There's homegrown guys from the U.S. You have Figueroa, too. Like, I mean, they got to start fighting. And you would think with Top Rank, you know, Espinosa and Carrington, you know, that should have been a fight already. And it wasn't made. I don't know what's going to go on with Top Rank and all that. But you have Turkey saying that he wants Figueroa on the 9-12 card. Is that going to be against Bruce Carrington? Because they're pretty much on the same schedule right now. Could we see Bruce Carrington versus Figueroa?
I would be very surprised if it wasn't Bruce. If it wasn't Shushu. He is, what is he, a Ring Magazine ambassador?
Oh, Turkey, geez, obviously, they beat you over the head with that. Every tweet is ring.
Turkey,
ring
obviously, you know, loves him. He came out and said, "I want this guy fighting on the undercard of that." Shushu gets a lot of opportunities, fights on these big cards, has been fighting on these big cards. It makes too much sense, especially with the, you know, the writing on the wall. But you know, and listen, Shushu has really broken out onto the scene. Looked great last weekend, but in terms of, you know, his best win was his last win against Castro for sure, but how do you rank that with some of the other guys and who they fought? You know, the question about Shushu is the experience, and that's, you can't question the other three guys that way. So that's why when I'm talking about ranking, I'm not knocking Shushu at all. I got to rank the guys like Leo and Espinosa above, and even Figueroa, although I do think that Shushu's got a good shot to beat Figueroa. In terms of those guys' experiences, they're on a different plane at this point. But listen, experience is one of those things that one good win, you beat one of these guys, you're right there too.
How would you power rank the featherweight champions?
Espinosa, Leo, I got Shushu, and then Figueroa.
Interesting, because you're putting Carrington over just off of what? Arrow over a Fig.
Freshness. I just think stylistically freshness. I think that Shushu's a high contact guy too, but he's very slick and got good defense even in the pocket. He throws combinations when the time is right. He doesn't throw them just to throw them. I think stylistically the matchup, the hand speed and the defense is the difference. I think Shushu has advantages in both. Figueroa has the advantages in power and physical size. But I think Shushu is just sharper and cleaner, and just doesn't get hit with the kind of shots that like a Nick Ball did, obviously.
Yeah, Carrington doesn't have the experience that some of the other guys does, but he might have the it factor.
Got a style. Well, the it factor, power. For sure. But he's just got a different style than those guys. He's an East Coast boxer puncher. You know, the guys are Mexicans. Brandon Figueroa is slow. He just comes forward and bangs with both hands. He's you know, listen, he's a son of a bitch to fight, and he's got power, but he's there and he gets hit. He throws a lot of punches, sure, but you know, he's there. He's not a stylist. And even Espinosa, we've seen him down, we've seen him get hit, we've seen him in these fights. It's just his physicality usually separates him. I think in terms of technical skill, Shushu and Angel Leo are the top.
Oh man, you could just interchange any of these guys. They all need to fight each other. And now in this new world we're living in, where you know, any fight can get made, there is no more barriers. We could see some of these fights. I think Espinosa, I look at him as the best as well.
Yeah,
and he needs to step it up, bro. Come
He's
on,
gotta be more active. Yeah,
not even just more active. Just like, I never hear him calling anybody. I hear Carrington calling everyone out. I mean, hold it against him sometimes. But like Espinosa, you gotta, these guys just gotta fight each other, man.
Yeah, but dude, when you're at the top, you don't have to call people out. That's a, that's where Espinosa
is. He though? He's not like, he's not like, oh my god, he's not the clear favorite. He's not the clear number one.
If you ask him,
he wouldn't even notice him. No one even walked down the street, you wouldn't even know who he was.
No, of course not. Well, no. But you've got, also, you're not going to recognize him because of how goddamn big he is. You're not going to believe he's a featherweight.
Like, who's that basketball player?
But, dude, he's got the Mexican fan base behind him. He's always got that in his back pocket. That's a big deal.
6 foot, 68 inch reach.
I met him when I called the Munguia fight in Canada. He walked in with Jaime for the interview. And I was like, I'm eye to eye with him for one. And he's just as wide as me. And I was like, holy shit. I didn't even recognize him. I was like, Espinosa? And he's like, oh, can't champion. I was like, when we talked, I was like, holy cow, he is big boy.
It's a big boy. Yeah, I just think he's got to start fighting each other. And I think this could be the year that we see at least one unification. If Turkey is who we think he is, he will put Figueroa in there with another champion. Just a shame that it's 7 months from now, even though I guess that's normal, right? I guess twice a year.
That's normal. Yeah.
Just looking for something to be upset about. Anything else from this fight?
That's Manny also Robles? A tough fight anyway, though. You got to think Figueroa's going to need some time. That's plenty. That's fine.
It was grueling.
Grueling fight.
Carrington, you know, is ready to go. That was six rounds. So the other champs are ready. Espinosa's ready. Leo, what's Leo? Is he fighting soon?
Leo fought in Japan a couple months back. Good fight. Tough fight.
He's got nothing on the books. Decision.
But I don't think he has anything going right now. I don't know if he wanted to go back to Japan again. We were talking about having him on a Pro Box card back at home. I don't know if that is going through or not.
I'll tell you what, this new Ring Magazine website, pretty cool. I mean, they got profiles on every fighter, all the rankings. I always use them for the rankings and to see what's what in every division. But if you click on the guy, they'll tell you his punch type percentage across every fight, courtesy of CompuBox. So Angelo Leo throws his power punches 70% of the time compared to 30% jabs. They have his last five fights. This is really cool. I know they just rolled out a whole new website and app and all that, but you know, Ring Magazine's doing a good job with content and all that stuff.
Their content's been great. I've been reposting all their stuff lately. It's really concise. It looks really good, and it's
a lot of money pumped into
whatever's going on that weekend.
It's a lot of money been pumped into them.
They got a good squad putting out the content.
They have a massive squad. It's become a very interesting time in boxing media because they are getting preferential treatment. They're getting not the interviews before anyone else. So like the IF TV and like the fight hypes are having issues getting access to fighters because Ring is getting them first. And they just have so much money pumped into it. You know, they took a lot of the really good content creators. They have Turkey bought it, and think about where Ring was like 3 years ago when Oscar had it. It was nothing. It was like on life support.
Yeah,
but it just shows literally. You pump money into something. I don't know if they're making any money on it, but it's great as a boxing fan.
I don't know if anything. I feel like nothing makes money anymore. You just pump money until somebody else buys it. that's like how you do everything.
There's no way they're making money on it because they I don't know how. How do you even make money on it? Like they're also doing the magazine again. They're like you go to
magazine's awesome.
But you can go to a magazine stand, which is we just dated ourselves. I guess the only magazine stand I've seen anymore is in an airport, right? You get a $13 water and an $8 bag of chips, and then they have a magazine rack, and you bring magazines there again.
Coffee,
and it's there.
That's awesome. I don't know about you, if I had a Ring magazine and a KO magazine subscription for years. I got to go to my parents' attic and go, and I got a cardboard box, multiple cardboard boxes. Full of these magazines.
You got to do that. But another thing Ring did, they digitalized every edition of the magazine.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. The amount that of money crazy. They took to do that and time. And so shout out to Ring magazine. I'll give them a lot of whatever. They're doing a good job.
I have the Ring magazine where I'm ranked in the world at the top fighters of the world. They did the top 100.
That's amazing.
I have that right over here. I got to find that digitally though. That'd be cool to post.
Anything else from this fight night? We had a great knockout. We had a guy kicking another guy. Manny Robles, the upset king. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention before we move on. Manny Robles also trains Rafael Espinosa.
Yes, I saw that. And when he upset Robeson Ramirez, and that was the one I was talking about, the broken foot fight.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though. Figueroa versus Espinosa, same trainer.
Yeah, but that doesn't, that's the fight. As much as we want to see everybody fight each other, I feel like that's the fight that's least likely.
Least likeliest one.
Right? I mean, partly, not even just because of, you know, Manny training both of them, but they probably don't train together, which is...
Why don't they just make a tournament? Like, tournaments work. Tournaments don't work.
They used to make tournaments.
I know. They don't work because everything has to work right under the same banner. You have to, the money issues. None of these guys are...
But now we can do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It makes so much sense because if you look at the top 10 at featherweight, the top four guys are the champions. It's so clear. Like, it falls off a cliff after the fourth-ranked guy. These are the best four guys. There's no network barriers in the way anymore. Make a tournament. You're not going to ask for a crazy amount of money, which is the hardest part of these tournaments, is the exorbitant purses and stuff. None of these guys are looking to, you know, ask for anything crazy or sit out fights. They're all hungry, I think. Tournament style.
We should do an episode on the best tournaments in boxing history. It's a good topic.
The middleweight tournament, I think, of, you know,
middleweight tournament with Bernard and Tito. And the way that one actually worked, where actually everybody fought each other, no one got hurt, it worked out.
What about the Super Six?
Super Six.
World Boxing Super Series.
Yeah, the Super Series, not Super Six.
That was ambitious, and they pulled it off, and they made great stars out of it.
Andre Ward came out of that. You know, he beat Nick Kessler, he beat Carl Froch. Like, those are huge wins. Some of the biggest wins.
Right, Inouye, Usyk, Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor became a really badass, well-known guy from that. Yeah.
Every other sport does it. You know, they have playoffs, brackets. It's very easy to follow. Boxing does not do that.
Not so much, no.
When you do it, it's a bona fide way to create excitement and a clear, I would say star, but like a winner to come out. Chris, you pissed off the internet again. Great job.
Woo!
Bro, insane. So we said it on Friday, the last episode. We're going to put out these takes, the Shakur Stevenson, who can beat him takes, your top eight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ton of engagement over the weekend. None bigger than your thoughts on Tank Davis potentially fighting Shakur Stevenson. This is all news to you. Like, you have no idea what I'm about to say next, the next couple of words. Shit ton of views. Put it on Instagram at over 100,000, but a lot of interactions. Some people took it to the next level. There's this guy on Twitter. Deem is his name. I'm giving him some pop here. Deem. Where is he? Deem by any means. Started tweeting at us in all caps. Y'all better warn Dan Canobio, this is not what he want. I'll eviscerate him and his homeboy. Neither know boxing more than me. Neither are smarter than me. Stick to your little bubble with no pushback. Dude with the glasses, that's you. The minute you actually think you could talk boxing with the real boxing community, it's up. And that's just one tweet. The guy tweeted at me all weekend. Caps, cool, screaming, all that stuff. Tells me... you know, blah, blah, blah. So it gets a little personal, of course. And then I was like, this guy's amazing. So I tweeted him. I was like, dude.
This guy's amazing. Come on the show.
Yes. I said, bro, call into the show now. So he calls. He thought he was going to get us on the line, like, immediately. He thought, like, the minute he calls, we're just sitting here waiting for Deem by any means. Yeah. So he calls. And... he didn't realize that we have a voicemail line. We do voicemail episodes. I wanted Deem to leave a voicemail stating his case or why is he so upset. He left a voicemail, but he didn't realize. Here he is.
Hey, don't send me to no voicemail. You told me to call. Yeah, you told me to call up. Don't send it to no voicemail. This is Deem with the Malcolm X avatar. Yeah, come talk real boxing to somebody who really knows boxing and I can prove how y'all be pushing agendas. Y'all sat up there and said T.O. got power at 140. T.O. hasn't stopped nobody at 140. How dare y'all could try to even compare Teofimo Lopez to Gervonta Davis in any boxing conversation? When he got his ass whooped by Steve Klagzet, but he should have lost to Jermaine Ortiz.
This goes on for a while.
T.O. does.
Yeah, it went on for another minute.
Did he even listen to the episode? I don't think. You know what it is? A lot of these guys, they just go from the clips And sometimes I respond because some people will like, I'm like, go listen to the whole episode. There's a lot more than just the clips. The clip is to embrace engagement.
And then you go listen to the clips. I love making the clips.
You're stirring the pot, which you understand how to do that very, very well, which apparently no one else has caught on to yet, which is hilarious.
Well, you did not compare Teofimo's power to two Gervonta's
at all.
All you said was,
I said he has power. I didn't. And I said at 140, he didn't. That guy just literally said what I said.
Yeah, because the clip is perfect. I mean, it's a great clip.
the issue with.
But you're not out here. I'm fighting your battles. This is all new to you.
I don't know why, dude. So what?
Not fighting. We're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That the fact that he called in is great.
Dude, he did a whole live show. I went to his YouTube, a whole live, and our faces are plastered on it.
Thanks.
It's unreal. Like this is, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm cracking up and I'm like, this is absolutely wild. I was like, should I tell Chris now or just let him know right on the pod?
No, anyway, no clue.
Bro, this guy, Dean, by any means, you're the best. We have to figure out a way to
we gotta collaborate.
Because he was a minute long, but he didn't get into any, like, he didn't get too nasty or personal. He was just stating his case. You know, these Tank fans are very, very passionate fans. We had another guy, too. Another guy. Here we go.
Hey, man, this is what I don't get, right? If Tank is so terrible, if he's so bad, if people can beat Tank, then stop talking about Tank. Stop talking about Tank. See, but you can't. See, both of y'all can't. Because y'all know Tank's the face of boxing. Y'all know Tank's the best. So, but the crazy part is, y'all sitting around trying to put good above great. Stop. It's terrible. Stop. Keep his name out y'all's mouth. Keep his name from off y'all's tweets. You know what I'm saying? Because all y'all dudes is just cappers paid off turkey. People paid off turkey. That's all y'all. Paid off
turkey. I got into the sauce.
Yo, stop, man. Stop, please, man. No,
stop this guy. Get this guy off.
Is that too much? I
thought we were one of the, I mean, we're not like obviously these guys' podcasts, but we're one of the pro Tank podcasts out there, actually. We've been on the Tank train for years.
Dude, I get criticized like for being too partial to Tank.
Right.
Because of my interviews that I've done with him, where we're all buddy-buddy and we're laughing it up and he's telling me things he's never told other reporters.
How many Tank fights have you and I personally covered? We've gone to Tank fights. We talk about how much of a star he is. We like Tank.
You know what it is, bro? It's our content is reaching people for the first time.
Right.
Which is a good thing. Which is a great thing. The show's expanding and these clips, they do really well. Instagram, they get into an algorithm and then they see us talking about Tank in a way that they don't agree with. That's another thing too. It's like these are boxing fans. I forget that there's fans in boxing are short for fanatical, and I forget that this isn't a team sport. You're not like, oh, I'm a fan of the Yankees, I'm a fan of the Giants, I'm a fan of the Seahawks. You're a fan of a singular guy. And you sound crazy. Like that last guy sounded insane. Like you're delusional. To think that Tank is the face of boxing, that the man is could very well be spending time in prison. Like, are we forgetting that? Like, he hasn't fought. By the time he steps into the ring with Shakur, it could be 18 to 24 months. He did not look good against Lamont Roach. If Steve Willis does his job, keep in mind, Steve Willis has not refereed a fight in New York since that incident. If Steve Willis does his job, he loses that fight. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of delusion in fandom, especially boxing, because you're riding with a single guy. I just thought it was hilarious.
That was very, very funny. But you did put that perfectly in terms of you were reaching an audience that does not know who we are. Like me and Paulie fight over Tank's legitimacy all the time. Like that's a major part of our show because he goes in on him, and I always have to. I'm the only one defending Tank.
My best is when they don't know who I am. That's fine. But when they say who's the dude with the glasses, that's you.
Yeah.
What does he know about boxing? And I'm just like, guys, he's a world champion. I have to explain it to him. This is what I mean when I'm out here fighting your battles. I'm like, guys, you don't like, everyone knows they're boxing, but like, come on, this guy steps in the ring, don't be disrespectful. Unbelievable. And that is the Monday. We got to make this a segment. Like, who did Chris piss off this week out in the airwaves? I think it's great because to me it means that the content is reaching new people and we're driving narratives and it's great. It's fun as hell. Let's get into February matchups. We're in February. We already have had a great start to February. We've had a great start to 2026. Been a fantastic start of the year.
Really based on last weekend and then this fight yesterday. Other than that.
Matias Smith?
Yeah. You're right.
Muratia Cruz?
That was last week too?
No, I'm just saying, 2026 has been great start.
No, but I was just saying, like, last weekend, because all those fights were together, I'm like, it's like a black hole into January that weekend.
That card was okay. Yeah, the Ring 6 was okay. The Dalton Smith fight was great. The Muratia Cruz fight was solid. Vodzik Hot Rod, Zuffa 2 was really good. There were some good fights on Ring 6. I thought the whole card was a little underwhelming.
Josh Kelly and Murtazaliev, that was a good fight, and it was
interesting. Oh, hell yeah. Zayas Barao, no one watched it, but... Still been a great start to the year. So February is looking pretty solid too. We have Nick Ball lost to Brandon Figueroa. Next Sunday we have Efe Ajagba and Charles Martin in Zuffa 3. How about fire through these and you give me a out of 10 your excitement level? Efe Ajagba, Charles Martin.
2.
February 15th from the Zuffa Apex. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd give it a 2. Could be big, meaty men throwing heat.
Yeah, I mean, I like Charles Martin. I told you he trained at our gym once down here, and he's a big, athletic guy. Cool guy, too. And I like Ajagba. He reminds me of like a wilder light. But yeah, I just it's a weird matchup.
He looks the part.
And he can punch. Dude can punch.
Where is it? I lost the document here. Here it is. All right, moving on. Mario Barrios, Ryan Garcia, February 21st. This is for Mario Barrios' welterweight championship. Where are we at here?
I'm going to go. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm going to go 8.
Yeah.
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 Solid. I was thinking 7, 7.5. I was like, nah, this is. Listen, Ryan moves the needle. So I'm excited with Ryan fights.
We have to tune in to see what version we're getting.
Because you don't know what the hell is going to show up. I mean, yeah, no. And it's also an important fight because it is a title fight at welterweight, and welterweight's getting hot again. So, yeah.
I feel like Barrios is going to be as switched on as Mario Barrios could be.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no respect.
Which means he'll probably get a draw.
With that being said, he's going to lose a split decision. Like, and Ryan is Ryan. He could come and knock out Barrios. He could slug away. He could just be sluggish and like he was against Rolly. Mm-hmm. But Barrios, I feel like, is not having the same respect that he had against Pacquiao. There was a clear respect level there, and he fought timid. And he gets a draw against a 46-year-old man. He's embarrassed, I think. I mean, he's very rich. I don't know. Can you be rich and embarrassed at the same time?
Yes, you can. Shame knows no dollar amount.
All right. And then Ryan is Ryan. If he wins and by knockout, if he wins by any means, he's going to be banging the drum and it's going to be insane. The build up for the Haney rematch, which I think will be next. Interesting. I would say 8 as well. Undercard, IBF welterweight title. Hitchens versus Duarte. Love this fight.
Love this fight as well. Hitchens, former sparring partner of mine from back in the day, back in Brooklyn. Good kid, known him for a long time. He's a local gym rat. He's been in every gym since he was a kid. Haitian Olympian, very, very good jab, talks the talk. And Duarte, man, ever since hooking up with Robert Garcia, has been on an absolute tear. Kid's a monster, hits really hard, super aggressive, durable. Talks about looking the part. Kid is jacked out of his mind. Training at Robert Garcia's camp, so you know he's getting fantastic sparring with all those awesome guys over there. Very, very interesting fight. World title fight as well, an interesting division. I'm not quite as excited as the Ryan Mario fight, but I'm still very excited. So maybe I'll go like 7.5.
7.5 is fair. Duarte is the guy Ryan Garcia thought was on steroids. I went back, found an old interview I had with Ryan.
Well, he said he hit harder than Tank. He couldn't believe how strong he was. Like,
he said, I said, Ryan, if you could be commissioner of boxing for a day, what would you do? What would you change? And Ryan goes, everyone could be on steroids and everyone can
smoke
weed.
Be on steroids.
Well, this is, keep in mind, this is like 3 days before the Haney fight. He was clearly in the middle of a manic episode. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, it is crazy. Talk about clips that blew up. I put that one on TikTok or whatever after the fact, and it had like 1 million views because Ryan said, everyone could do steroids. Everyone should be allowed to smoke weed. And I was like, do you ever fight someone that you think is on steroids? And he goes, Oscar Duarte. He said, I felt like I was punching cement. And he hit me with shots. I was like, great answer. Thank you, Ryan. Great soundbite. But
that is
great. Duarte is no tough out. And he's going to come forward, and Hitchens can jab. And Hitchens wants to make his case at 140. He's so hungry. Love that fight. Gary Antoine Russell, Andy Hirokoa. That is the third fight of the night on this card on February 21st. Love Russell. And people are like, I feel like Hiroka is like the, you know, underdog that people are giving a lot of, like, think could knock off Russell.
Hiroka's really good. I've called a number of his fights over the years. He's just so inactive. But yeah, no, he's big. He's long. He's got good technique. He's got power. He's talented, and he's a potential problem. And that fight, it's a weird fight because profile wise, it's not big. People don't really know who Hiroka is, and Gary Antoine Russell is so inactive that he can't get any momentum.
Big card.
Important fight. Very important fight. Excitement. I'd go like 6-5.
6-5. February 21st, earlier in the afternoon, Lee Wood, Josh Warrington. I feel like these guys have fought 100 times. I only fought once, but yeah. Right? They did a Matchroom did a great promo where they were like super old
men. Yeah,
that was great because it's so true. Because I think I feel like they've fought a bunch of times already, and they're just like recycling matchups. Still going to be a good fight because I love Lee Wood. I don't know how much he has left. I don't think either of these guys have left.
They're meeting at the right time. Lee Wood is the British Arturo Gatti. I mean, they're meeting at the right time. Warrington was a dominant kick ass champion for a while, but that was a long time ago. So we got to see what both these guys have left. But that usually makes for good fights when you got two guys who are, you know, past their prime fighting each other at the right time.
They last fought in October of 2023. Warrington,
that was a while ago.
Lee Wood stopped him in the seventh round.
That was over 2 years ago. Have they fought anybody since? They haven't been.
Lee Wood has. Warrington has fought Anthony Kakache.
Oh, Kakache.
Lost stoppage. That was May of 2025. Warrington is 35 years old. That's an old 35. Fought in April of last year against Asad Asif Khan and won a decision, lost to Kakache, lost to Wood, lost to Lopez. Three straight losses. Beat Kiko Martinez, draw against Mauricio Lara, lost to Mauricio Lara. Since 2021, he's got one, two, three, four losses and a draw. Warrington, just a name at this point.
Yeah.
These Brits will be wasted in the crowd.
Like I said, at one time, he was a dominant champ, and he was beating a lot of guys, you know, taking a lot of guys to school, but that was a long time ago.
What do you have with this one? 5?
Yeah, I hate to do that because I like both guys a lot. But
it could be a rock 'em sock 'em robots fight.
Exactly, but the fight doesn't matter that much. It's not.
No, it doesn't.
There's no world implications.
None.
It's a fun money fight for two elder statesmen. Put it that way.
Yeah, Clarissa Shields, Franchon Cruz, DeZern 2. They fought in Shields' debut. Debut was against Franchon Cruz, DeZern, February 22nd.
That's a tough debut, man. That was a tough fight, too. I don't know if you remember
women's boxing, they don't mess around. Hey, Franchon Cruz, DeZern, you're taking on Clarissa Shields in her first fight. Hey, Clarissa Shields, you're fighting world-class fighter. Pretty sure.
But in those weight classes, there's not a big population of women. They got to fight.
It's at heavyweight. I forget that Clarissa Shields is at heavyweight.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I think Shields needs to move down. Some of the biggest fights for her are at the lower weights. I'm excited for Franchon. I got to know her over the years.
She's great.
She's just been around. She's just one of the stalwarts of women's boxing. Shields should win this pretty easily. I would say 5 or 6. I mean, yeah, it's the next day.
I'm in the same vicinity. Franchon Cruz is one of the really nice champions in our sport. Really, really wonderful young lady.
And you know, she's off the hook now because she had the real hair malfunction. Do you want the braids or do you want the weave or you want the title? Remember that?
That's right.
And they ripped her weave off.
Yep. And she went out there and handled business.
And then Jarrell Miller came through. It was on Jimmy Kimmel last week.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Unbelievable. Like his toupee coming off of his head
was
what he's going to be known for now.
it was more impactful than his win. Way more.
And also, like, when you think of Jarrell Miller, you think of PEDs. He was out. He had so many. He was on every PED in the book. He was suspended. But now, when you search his name, you're going to see toupee ripped off of his head.
Yeah.
Only in boxing.
Went from bad guy to funny guy, but
he handled it perfectly. I mean, you gotta go with the hand you're dealt. It's not the only guy to pop for PEDs in boxing.
But he's the only guy that can handle it the way he handled it. And if you know Jarrell personally, you'd be like, yeah, of course, only that guy. He can't lose. Like, he's just that guy. Buddy.
Only guy to ever hang up on me in the history of this show.
You probably deserved it.
No. No. I said, Jarrell, you're about to sign with Matchroom. And he goes, whoa, hold on. Who said I was signing with Matchroom? I said, it's heavily reported. I was like, and then the next day he signs with Matchroom. He goes, you do your homework. Do your homework when you interview with Jarrell Miller. Click.
You were spilling the tea that wasn't ready, bro.
Bro, next day he signs with Matchroom.
I hope he puts you in a headlock the way he put me in Paul.
I got to find it. I got to find that. That's like episode
That'd be great.
10. I got to find that. Because I think I just kept going. Because it wasn't – right. I could have just stopped the interview and not played it, or it been like, all right, we're going to cut that part out of the show. I think I just went with it. Like, I was like, did you just hang up? And, like, it was early on in my whatever podcast career. I didn't – like, it was awesome. Emmanuel Navarrete, Eduardo Nunez. Love this fight. February 28th. Unification bout at lightweight, junior lightweight, excuse me. Manuel Navarrete, battle tested.
Sugar fun
Nunez. I'm excited for that one. It's a solid 8 out of me.
Nunez is a badass. I'll go 7-5 on that one. Navarrete is always in a good fight. Called a lot of his fights to top ranks over the years. Hell of a fighter. Tough, rough, battle tested, like you said. I've heard a lot of good things about Nunez. I hear from a lot of insiders that he's a bad mother sucker. So we'll see. That's probably going to be a really good fight. Where are they fighting?
That's a good question. I don't know. Navarrete, I think it might be in Glendale, Arizona.
Okay.
I want to find out right now.
Is it a Matchroom card? Because Navarrete
is a Matchroom card. It's a Matchroom card. It is in Desert Diamond Arena, Glendale, Arizona. I've heard is. Have you done a show out there?
I have a couple.
Is it sick? Because I've heard it's awesome.
Awesome. Damn. Very awesome. Very awesome.
I'd love to. Wish I was on that show in some capacity. I'm not going to fly out there on my own dime, but if I was,
Arizona's cool, man. Arizona's cool.
I know. I'd golf. Hiking.
Yeah.
It's like the golf capital because of the weather and the dry climate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf, hiking, great fight. I heard the crowd's going to be crazy.
Crowds are always awesome there.
Because Top Rank went there a bunch of times. Smart. Yeah. Matchroom is smart when it comes to where they put their shows.
Yes.
Because that's where it belongs.
They're taking a page out of the book of Top Rank. Top Rank always did that.
Yes. So it should be a very good month. It's off to a great start. We haven't even gotten into like the real part of the schedule, boxing schedule. So it's looking up and up right now, boxing world. We're on the rise. We're through the worst parts of the year, and now we're ready to go.
Yeah, and I think this is a good start to the year, and we've said that. It doesn't seem like it's going to slow down either. I think this is going to be an excellent year, and the writing was on the wall at the end of last year that we were going to have a really good run, and we're off to a good start.
Have you been following this Mayweather lawsuit?
Not really. I mean, I've heard a little bit about it. We talked about it a little bit on Pro Box. I don't know. It's just this kind of stuff doesn't get me all excited. You know?
No, it doesn't. But yesterday I was in the house all day because it was freezing. So I was doing some cooking, and then I put on this guy, T Street Controversy. He's one of the best boxing follows on Twitter. He's like an OG YouTuber going back 15 years when it comes to covering boxing. And he bought the 25-page lawsuit. And this guy apparently does paralegal work.
Wow.
I didn't even know that. That's news to me. But he did a two-part YouTube series yesterday going through every page. And I listened to the whole thing because I was very – he did it in a very entertaining way. And it's some crazy stuff, man, because we think of Al Haymon and we think of Mayweather in there and the powers that they got to and the levels that they got to. But apparently, like they're allegedly, it's saying that Mayweather's money that he made in three different fights, Berto, Pacquiao, and McGregor, that money
Those are big fights.
This is according to a lawsuit. Yeah. Over $340 million, allegedly, was taken from Mayweather and put into like a separate fund that helped fund PBC, helped fund other things. And Mayweather had no clue where his money was going. He didn't even have a contract with Heyman. He had complete, trust in Al Heyman and Showtime and Espinoza. It's very, 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 very crazy story. Go check out that video if you guys are interested in it. But it's definitely like a story in boxing. I mean, obviously, I don't really care that much. I mean, like, but it's crazy because PBC was the number one boxing promoter for like a decade.
That's how big of a deal Floyd was, though. Floyd was, he had his own orbit when it came to people making money around him. And that's how powerful it was when he fought. You know, I remember there was like an old saying like 10 years ago, like when Floyd fights in Vegas, it's like a $1 billion weekend, which is probably even more than that. But wow. I mean, nobody moved the numbers like Floyd. So like when you talk about this, even like this, like, oh, 340 million, it's like, that's the level of this guy was at that you could miss.
He had two,
you could miss 340.
He had two $600 million fights, like total revenue. Pacquiao and McGregor.
And they were only, well, there was, it was Pacquiao, Berto, McGregor, right? It was almost like back to back. So like, yeah, I mean, ridiculous. That's $1.2 billion
off of fights. And I don't know how it's all going to play out, but you know, they were such big names like Heyman and he, you know, this YouTuber at T-Street
Showtime.
Right. There was a big players. They were big. They were running the sport for a solid amount of time, but, and everyone always questioned them.
Heyman wasn't named in the lawsuit.
He's not. Was like, and I also, Dan not. Rayfield reported that Mayweather and Heyman settled.
I was going to say that. There's no way that this is going to go to court. They're going to.
They didn't put Heyman in the lawsuit because they eventually, you can't do it yet. The Heyman's contracts are nuts. According to what this guy was explaining, they sound very Zuffa. Like they're crazy. Like you can't sue him. Like you, if you miss a fight, then attack on another one. Dan Riffey reported that, not reported, but he said word on the street is that Heyman and Mayweather settled. Based on what I'm told, Floyd has already quietly settled with Heyman. I don't know that for sure, but that's the word.
That's from Dan.
Yeah, he's pretty good, Dan, when it comes to.
No, Dan's great. Dan doesn't put anything out that's not verified.
Yeah, I don't know. If you guys are into that stuff, like, we're not going to spend too much time breaking it down because I'm not a legal guy, and we don't know. But this guy, T-Street Controversy.
Do we want to talk about Floyd versus Mike Zambides?
We're going to hear. I think Floyd's going to come back, bro. Like, comeback.
I thought he's fighting Zambides in June. Isn't that set?
Yeah, is that like an exhibition?
Yeah, but can I talk a little bit about Mike Zambides? Because he's a kickboxer.
I would love you. Who is this guy? Right. I don't know anything about
him. Mike Zambides is actually a legend. He's a kickboxing legend from Greece. And in the early 2000s, absolute monster. I mean, his name is Iron Mike. Mike Zambides. He's 45 years old now.
Oh, so it's a fair fight. 45-year-old versus a 49-year-old.
I actually love this. If Floyd is going to go on a world tour and go fight in other places, but also fight like name guys and they're his age, that's great. Like when Pacquiao fought that other kickboxer, Ampo, like that guy's like still fighting and young and legit. Like
when Pacquiao got worked by that guy?
Yeah, when he got beat up by a kickboxer, like that, they shouldn't do that. But if you're going to do something like this, it's a cross sport legends fight. You got Floyd, who's a legend. You got Mike Zambides, who's a legend in kickboxing. They're fighting in Greece. Mike is from Greece. Mike has an incredible highlight package. K1 champion, K1 Max, has fought all the greats. I love this. I mean, they're going to go out there and they're going to box. Mike also stays in very good shape. You know, Zambides is very, very fit, so it's not going to be like some old fat guy out there. It's going to be two in-shape 40-year-olds, former legends, former top quies in two different sports, boxing. I love it.
Will Floyd like really come back? We'll know how broke.
I think
like
he'll fight Pacquiao. Pacquiao
not
really
broke,
come back.
But like, I don't think he's broke because these rich people, I mean, it's just, they always have money, but like you're reading some of the stuff, like he's defaulting on stuff and like a lot of stuff's not coming out
alone.
True.
He can show up somewhere and make, you know,
right. He's going to have to change. I mean, Tyson went broke and then had to rebuild his whole empire. Mayweather going broke would be crazy because of the figures that we just talked about, but it's not surprising. Like we've heard this story numerous times, and But now it has big names. Floyd, Showtime, Heyman. It's crazy, man. You see Oscar out here. The Golden Boy office got defaulted on. And Floyd, Oscar. That's why Zuffa, man. Zuffa. $20 billion company, maybe even more. They're looking at all these stories out here, and they're like, yep.
Timing's everything.
Scoop them all up. Scoop them all up. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Oh, it is the weekend. Have a great week. I got confused. I don't even know what day it is.
Over. By the time this comes out, weekend's over.
I don't even know what day it is. What year is it? All right. I've been inside too long, bro. It's so cold. Been inside. I got to get some fresh air. We'll see you next week, later in the week, and we break down more boxing. We talk more hijinks here on Inside Boxing Live. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.